Today, I have a word to share. I named my topic Citizen of Heaven. Last time at youth evening service when I was preaching, I mentioned the name Citizen of Heaven and it was just wild in there, you know? So I'm like, God is doing something on that. I'm gonna be mainly preaching and focusing on the book of Philippines. No, not Philippines. But anyways, that's the book I'm focusing on. It's a small little book with four chapters. Holy Spirit has been putting a lot of nuggets in my heart when it comes to this book. So a lot of, like, we're going to read some of this where I'm just going to say, you know, preach from this book, but mainly that's what I'm focusing on. I think why this book related to me during this week a lot is because this is one of the first churches that Paul established, and it was in Eastern Europe. So it was somewhere like Ukrainian-ish area, you know, literally our region. It's crazy to know that, you know, Paul the Jew, pure-blooded Jew or whatever, traveled the world. He was crazy for Jesus. Like, the distance is 1,500 miles from Israel area to Eastern Europe. By foot, let's go, gospel. That's dedication. That's beautiful. So I love that. Living as citizens of heaven on this earth, I really want to look into Paul's life, into his heart, into his mind, because, I mean, if there is an example, because as he mentioned in the New Testament, you know, like, look at me, my life, what I pattern, and imitate that. So when it comes to God, that's what he wants. Some of us are, like, all of us are in different levels when it comes to, you know, when it comes to our walk with God. And so I think that's a very beautiful heart to have, to look at each other in a very humble way and learn from each other. Because certain facets, we got it right, and certain facets, we are still in the process of cultivating and growing and, you know, getting up there, getting up there to understanding what maturity looks like. So let's start with Ephesians 2, from 6 to 11. This is Jesus. This is Jesus showing us the pattern of what it looks like to bring the value system of heaven on this earth. Starting with verse 6. Actually, no, 5. Let's do 5. This is Paul talking about Jesus. And this scripture right here from 6 to 11, this is from the book of Isaiah in Genesis. That's where he's quoting it, Jesus. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as someone to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divinity and privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on that cross. And this is where the reward comes in. This is what the Father did because of Jesus' heart posture. Therefore, verse 9, therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, underneath earth, and in every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So when it comes to us, we are representative of Jesus. That's just, you know, the path we chose as Christians. So what does that mean, being citizens of heaven and imitating who we are as citizens on this earth? That hits up every aspect of life: spiritual, moral, social, and culture. How many of you guys know that? That kingdom of heaven, it has it all. Not just Jesus sitting on the throne and that's it. There's actually, like, there's an attitude, there's a behavior, there's a heart, quality of heart, and there's characteristics that kingdom people carry and have. And I feel like, you know, since we've been kind of the second service, we've been building it up brick by brick, who we are as a body here, and also when God lets us. By the way, one of the things when I was worshiping, I was feeling so much fire and hunger and faith in this room that I'm like, wow, literally, like, I believe that when it comes to this small little group and this setup that we have going on right now, there's enough hunger and faith to take down, like, and just go out on streets and manifest Jesus. It doesn't take a lot. It just takes a small little mustard seed. So I really wanted to highlight that, because it's important to focus on the right things when it comes to hunger, faith. That is ingredients of heaven, and that is exactly what I'm talking about, you know, being citizens of heaven. That's what you carry on the inside of you. How many of you guys ever been through seasons when you're not hungry for God? Raise of hands. Any more? That's it. Y'all are hungry and fire. It sucks. It really sucks when you're on when you're not on like hunger and fire for God. Like, it takes a toll. And so in those places, you really learn that when it comes to hunger, that is the Spirit of God that is in you. You're yearning for God and crying out to Abba, like your spirit. That is just something to recognize and honor and cherish in our life. So Jesus in Philippians 2 from 6 to 11 that we just read. I love what Jesus is doing right here. He flipped the perspective from Old Testament into New Testament. He flipped perspective, heart posture, and attitude. The things that I want to focus on this is like out of that. Adam wanted to be equal with God, right? First human on this earth wanted to be equal with God. Look what Jesus is doing. He never saw himself as God. That is just so impressive, because that's how you manifest kingdom. That's how you manifest God. When you walk in humility and when you truly walk in his presence. Jesus took the position of a slave. This is God. He knew he came from heaven. He knew what his privileges were, what his authority was. Yet he chose to come underneath and be a servant to the people that were of that time. And he's still serving everybody today with everything that we have as inheritance. He gave his divine rights and chose a life of uncomfort to truly show us and be an example to us of what it looks like to be sons and daughters. And then going on the cross and dying that criminal's death. Spiritually, morally, socially, culturally, he walked in full humility and he walked under the radar of the enemy. This is amazing to me, because that's one of the things as I'm learning more to walk in humility, to really cultivate that, to understand that, to apply that practically, what it looks like in every aspect of my life. I understand that you truly come under the radar of the enemy when you walk in humility. Like, the enemy couldn't do anything to Jesus, because like he's pretty dumb. He didn't understand what Jesus was doing. He was changing the whole entire game. He was changing all the rules from Old Testament into New Testament. So when it comes to us being representatives of God, being, you know, that image of God, one of the cool descriptions that I found for representing God is being an image, right? We as kids, what we put in into ourselves, what we cultivate on the inside of you, like day in, day out, Monday through Friday, you automatically reflect that in your attitude and the culture that you walk in and who you are. That's automatically just projected from you. How many of you guys met church people that betray others? Like, they give them faulty cars, they steal money from them, they lie to them. That puts a bad name on Christianity and on church, but there is quite a bit of that, and it goes back to your heart, right? If greed lives in your heart, if there is envy that lives in your heart, if there is everything that is not of kingdom lives in there, you will project that. To me, every single time when I hear that people do other people wrong, like Christians, that breaks my heart. Because you really call yourself a Christian? Dude, you don't know God. That's just straight up what it is. Because you will always, if you know God, if you are after the truth, if you are after his righteousness and his stuff, you will always want to bless others and give to others and want the best for others, loving on other people. So representing is really presenting an image. So next time when you're thinking about kingdom of heaven, citizenship, being an image or carrying Jesus' name, because that's what we are. When we say yes to Jesus and when we accept him into our lives, we become automatically carriers of his name. Like, that's my middle name, Christ, I guess. Little Christ, right? After his own image. That's. I mean, he lives in me. So we carry his image, and everything, our choices and our lifestyle, it really reflects who he is in us. I'm not going to read this in Philippians 1 in 27. Paul says, conducting yourself in a matter that is worthy of the good news. So what he's saying is that, back to designing and building your life, your culture and your family, culture as you are as individual, when you're building that, think always about worthy. What the word means and represents is living a life that brings value, that is honorable and excellent, a life that is deserving respect, morally admirable, and other people admire you. Let's put it like that. So we always worship God and we say, you are worthy, you are holy, you are great, you are big. But we are his representatives. And so God wants us not to only sing that, but to be everything that we are as a human, right? To sing that, say that, but then turn around and walk that out. That you're on talk and your life says that, wow, that God that is on that person's life, he's really worthy. Like, you're really reflecting heaven and you're living by the principles of heaven. I really love this. Conducting ourselves in a matter that is worthy to represent and to give the good news. So how do you build this attitude, kingdom attitude, and the attitude that Jesus carried? Let's read Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Paul says, dear friends, you always followed my instruction when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important that you follow his instruction. Work hard to show the result of your salvation. Obey God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. I love that. I love being a son of God. And when you're in his presence, and when God drops his desire into your heart, and his desire becomes one with your heart, and you start pursuing the desires that he put on your heart, that is the most beautiful thing to me. Because how many of you guys know, without those desires, we are lost humanity. So when we start walking in his presence, when we start walking in those desires, we start truly becoming and being ourselves, but we also start walking in true freedom. Because when we discover, so, okay, let me take a step back. I kind of jumped a little bit ahead. So Paul says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. This is not in a religious perspective that you're working to gain your salvation, right? This is you received it, and now you're producing or you're showing the fruits of what that means with that you just received. It looks like something, right? Salvation looks like something. It's your lifestyle. It's the fruits that kind of flow from you as a human, as your as a son of God. So working hard in your salvation, obey God in deep reverence and fear. I love this part. In 13, it says, while you're going to be living in this way, God is going to be working on your heart. This is me paraphrasing. So when you're focusing on working hard and producing the results of salvation, God is automatically in that process working on your heart. This is beautiful because God, like, our whole mission as sons on this earth is to truly go through the process of maturing and go through the process of learning to be in unison and oneness with Jesus. Going to heaven, or heaven coming down here if we come to that place. A lot of people are saying it's the end times and stuff, but who Who knows? Nobody knows. So if heaven does come here, your heart is pure. Like, why God is doing that? He wants to give us a clear goal. Like, what is the goal? What are we doing as Christians? He's saying, produce, like work hard to produce and results of your salvation. So His Spirit is in you. And when you're working hard and obeying Him and walking in that reverence, God is working in the background on your heart. Have you guys ever seen how hard God works? God is a hard worker. I mean, He designed this whole world. He designed us. That's pretty impressive. He knows. He's wise. So He's birthing His desires in you that please Him. I love this mystery because, again, when God says that His desires that are in you, when you're walking them out, it pleases Him. But not only does it please Him, it pleases you. Because you discover, in the process, you discover the true self that you are in Him. And that is just, that's amazing. Because again, it's a hidden. When I started in His presence, when I started receiving these little revelations, when I started walking these little revelations, then I started understanding, I'm like, God, oh my goodness. Everything is truly hidden in you. The whole life is hidden in you. And you are the only one that can show us and teach us of what identity looks like, of what our destinies look like, what the purpose and meaning of this life looks like. But it's only in Him, in full surrender and obedience, that we can receive that impartation and truly step into the inheritance that we have in Him. So you walk in joy. After you start walking out and understanding who your true self is in God. And this is really good because in Philippians 3:1, it says that joy protects your faith. How many of you guys ever know that? Anybody? Joy protects faith. I wanna kinda like mention this couple times because people who walk in joy, there is something around them that attracts, that like, pushes away the enemy, darkness. Like, it protects your heart. It protects the God that is in you. This is huge. Paul mentions this. He mentions the joy and the delight. He mentions this multiple times. He's like, as a body, that is ours. A lot of times, people go through different attacks and hardships and they start blaming God and then they get into bitterness, depression, rejection, and all kinds of stuff that they shouldn't even be focusing on. Paul always redirects our focus on joy, on delight, on peace, because that produces heaven on the inside of you. That produces, and not only then it starts attracting heaven, but you live in a happy mood. You live in a happy place. So working hard to show the results of your salvation. Obeying God with deep fear and reverence. I'm still learning this. We've been talking quite a bit of this, you know, and I understand that fearing God is honoring Him, respecting Him, but I feel like there is so much deeper revelation and just in the reality of what that truly means for us as a body and as His kids, because I think if we can understand this and start walking with that true, deep reverence and fear of the Lord, I think, like, everything around us is gonna start changing and shifting in a very supernatural, powerful, authoritative way. Because then we're gonna really open up the doors to God and Holy Spirit to start working. But I think it's a state of heart. So Philippians 1:29, for you have, this is the second moment, how to build your attitude. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting Christ, but also the privilege to suffering with Him. This is really good because a lot of times, a lot of Christians, you know, they focus on resurrection power, where God is working on your heart right now. Resurrection power is gonna come, but when the resurrection power comes, God wants our hearts to be prepared, that we can withstand the power and the glory. He really wants us to be, He doesn't wanna lose us, let's put it like that. So I love that the Bible uses these words in LLT, privilege of trusting Christ. A lot of people are struggling with trusting Christ. Paul says it's a privilege. Like, it's an honor. It's a high esteem honor to actually make that choice and a lifestyle in every area of your heart to trust God. That no matter what, I'm after you. How many of you guys ever, and this is kind of funny, privileged to suffering with him? When you're in the struggles, your trusting level in Christ, they go up automatically. When you're going through something, like no tomorrow, you just grab onto God and you start taking everything that you need in the moment, whatever that looks like, either joy or humility, or if there is fear and anxiety, you start just like asking him for help to be covered with the shadow of his wing. And I love that here in this verse, it's the same coin. It's the same inheritance as the resurrection power, same with trusting him and the suffering part, suffering with him. The soldier on the cross, no, hold on. A little bit earlier when the woman asked if her kids can be with Christ in heaven, what was his response, Jesus's? Are they willing to drink the same cup as I am? God's cup, it's the fullness. When we say we're Christians, everything is in that cup. I love that when we're going or we're having our struggles, that's where God is forging our character. That's where he's forging us as humans. That's where he's forging our heart. Because when I'm really been thinking about this, that's exactly what it looks like. Forging is you're going through fire. Forging, that means he's pruning your heart. Forging, that means a lot of times you don't know what's happening and you don't know if you're going to survive, or you don't know if there's going to be a future or whatever. But he knows. He knows when he dips your heart in fire, he's going to refine it, he's going to purify it, and he's going to become, or you're going to become one with him. That's the end result, is unite you and Christ together. To me, that is just so special, because I journeyed with God for about 15 years now after I got born again. And it's been the most amazing experience. You know, when we were going through our encounter, Andre's like, you know, after this encounter, your life is definitely going to be a roller coaster. You know, I'm like, okay. You know, there was definitely been a roller coaster, up and down and all kinds of like seasons that I went through, you know. And so there have been those moments where you don't feel God. You don't see God. You think he abandoned you. You think that's the end of that journey, you know, until he reveals and shows himself in such a new, unique way that you're just in awe. I love what Danny said, holy. With every word you sing holy and you're worthy, a new fresh revelation gets deposited in you, who God is. That's what it looks like for us on this earth, going through the process, through every season. We discover God's every facet. For us, it's a matter of just being with him and not letting go. I really, you know, beginning of this year, I felt this very deep, and I think in previous topics I shared this as well. I really felt like God wanted us to step back in this house. I really felt, because like we got it. We have the Spirit and the Word, and it's thick doses, you know. I love that. That's an honor to be here. But also I feel like God wants to eliminate all the other cracks, and I felt like he said to step back and get some of the basic principles and some of the basic stuff kind of hammered into us. Things like unity, oneness in spirit, and clarity in one purpose, that we understand who we are, that we are able to be vulnerable with each other. We are able to truly flow together in one spirit, like the basics. But that's what removes the cracks from our foundation, that we can run and not stop after that. Because small things sometimes are big things. Paul always talks about fighting the good fight. And this is, I'm on second point, building your attitude. Paul always talks about in the New Testament, fighting the good fight, running the good race, right? Protecting the gospel. This is one of the moments when he always says that. This is what he means. He understood that ideas, they dominate society. Ideas truly dominate our culture. And so when it comes to building an attitude of a sonship, that means you protect like faith. The way you protect faith, because that's what Paul talks about, is you stand on faith. It takes an idea to change an entire nation and an entire like country. You guys know that? Do you believe that? Because you take an idea, you put it into action, over time, it's literally gonna be your culture that you live in. It's literally gonna be, an idea is gonna be driving culture and society. Everything that our government is doing right now, it is disgusting and it is really repulsive. But look what they're doing. They're just casting ideas. They're just building our future and our nation right now with the disturbing ideas, ideas that are from the pit of hell. And so when it comes to us bringing heaven on earth and manifesting it here, right? That's what it starts with. When you hear a disturbing idea from hell, you stand on your truth. Like you stand on the gospel. You're like, no, that's a lie. I'm not gonna let that be around me, whatever that looks like. And I know we have that as a society and a people here. But I'm just saying, it's the simple ways of manifesting your citizenship and manifesting who you are as a son on this earth in your everyday life. One of the things in construction I learned is the manpower. You can be grinding by yourself and it feels like you're just spinning tires on the same spot. Like you're unproductive, it is annoying. And then when you're doing a project and you get like 20 dudes in there, things just get done in like a day, you know? Like the project is finished. How many of you guys went to Subotnik, the camp cleanup that we had a couple of weeks back? Okay. Like they were so productive over there, I was shocked. Like walls got built, roofs got done, the whole thing got pressure washed. Like they changed the whole entire camp in a day, like 70 people or whatever plus. That being said, this is what encourages me. When always like Paul's message, Jesus's message, Kingdom of Heaven message is unity. When we can stand together on God's truth, on his ideas, on his heart's desires that he puts in us, we are loud and we are strong. The enemy, he literally has no space over there because there is literally no hooks in us or around us that we have. Physically we're strong and spiritually we're strong. It goes both ways. Paul's life, it was larger. Like Jesus in him was larger than his whole entire life. As I mentioned, 1,500 miles. And that's only one of the churches that he set up and revival that he brought to Eastern Europe. There are so many other spots that he was in. He was just a fireball. Nothing would stop him. Persecution, he said, let's go. Hunger, let's go. I can take any of it and all of it. On foot, no horses, no nothing, to bring the gospel, let's go. Like he was down for anything. I love that. I really feel that God is taking his church to that place. That fire and that hunger and that faith that I was feeling today over here, it is so good. Because I know it's boiling on the inside of you guys and soon it's gonna start manifesting on the outside. And I really feel like it's gonna manifest. And in this very dark state that we live in, I know it's gonna get brightened up a lot. Where there's brightness, sun or light shines so much more better. And I am excited what's yet to come. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. That's what this boy read. I was like, man, Holy Spirit is on this. When you read this, I'm like, good prayer, bro, good prayer. I'm preaching about this. So Philippians 4, 6 to 8. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he does. So good. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything you can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Jesus Christ. This is another huge nugget right here that is so simple. Peace guards your heart and your mind. So when you abide and when you stay in His presence, the substance of peace that gets released on the inside of you, that will guard you from this world and everything that this world experiences right now. It's so good because I work in all over different countries, cultures and different environments in King County. People are, they have a lot of fear and anxiety inside of them. It is just kind of scary, the culture that we live in. Anything and everything will trigger them. Like as soon as they experience something that is not going their way, that's it, they start freaking out. And it's like every single time I pick that up in behavior and attitude, because I have to work with clients and rich people, and like I have to be very sensitive to my work and stuff, you know? So when I pick these things up, every single time I'm so grateful that I have Jesus in my life. I can have abundance or I can have nothing, and I will be totally fine with either way because He's my inheritance at the end of the day. I love that because, dude, that's a treasure right there. That is a treasure that you can literally sell your whole field just to buy that. All your possessions to buy that field. Let's read verse 8 right here. This is something I think on Monday I was working and Holy Spirit just dropped this verse in my heart and I was just meditating on it. I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? Verse 8, Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about these things, that they are excellent and worthy of praise. Paul was a smart guy. I understand exactly what he means. When you focus on the cracks in your life, when you focus on the negatives, you will cultivate depression, anxiety, fear. You will always attract the dark side of life. He's saying, look at this. Things that are true, truth, that's Jesus. Honorable, that's Jesus. Right, pure, that's Jesus. Lovely, that's, you can only get that from Him. But He's saying, fix your thoughts. So where your focus is, that's where your life is gonna be going. So when Paul is talking and giving us advice, he wants us to be full of peace and joy. Why? Because our heart and our mind is gonna be protected. Doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us, we're gonna be okay. We're like, Jesus is King, no matter what it looks like. The basic truths, but they are applicable Monday through Friday. 8 to 5, they are applicable any time of the day or any time of situation or whatever you are at. And I love this. Paul is saying control. Control your thought pattern, control your mind and what is happening over there. How many of you guys had ever this experience? You're having a bad day, like everything is just going sideways. You just wanna crawl in your bed under your sheets and you wanna be done and over with. I'm like, this is just too much. How many of you guys had that? How many of you guys had this next step? As soon as you catch the root of what started that whole thing and you revert those thought patterns and you're like, why am I thinking all of this negative stuff? You start praying, you start decreeing and declaring God's truth. It's like a cloud is lifted off, and within minutes, atmosphere changes, your heart changes, your mind changes, you start thinking clearly. Like this is the most supernatural, one of the most supernatural things that you can experience about Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. Because you have the power to control your thoughts, to control your life, because that's what it looks like. In God, we can truly control our lives, control our moods, and control how we live this life on this earth. Paul, after he wrote half a New Testament, this guy was a powerhouse. Look at the advice he gives in Philippians 3:13. I'm not gonna read that. This is his advice to us. Forget the past and look forward to what lays ahead. There is always new. Like Paul never limited himself to what God can do through him. This is him writing this, being in jail. And him being in jail, I mean, I would think that's a struggle being locked up, you know? It is a little bit of a struggle talking about, you know, being, you know, having the rewards of God and also having the struggles. He was the most fruitful and productive when he was locked up and he was in jail. This is so amazing. Why he was able to do that? Because of this key right here. He forgot the past through all the glory that God manifested through him, through everything that happened. Religion gets stuck in the past. That's why we got religion, because they experienced something 30 years and they're still living it today. God says, let go of all of that. God is in the now. When you can focus on him and be in the moment, you can have a bright future. But he says, eagerly waiting and looking up to Jesus Christ. That is so good, because that's what kingdom citizenship looks like in the moment. You are in the now, because kingdom of heaven doesn't have time, right? We have time. So the way you stay current with kingdom of heaven and everything that kingdom of heaven is trying to flow and manifest through you is you don't live by the past, your experiences, the good, the bad, everything that you had, you let go and you focus on Jesus in the moment that you're in. Obviously, you live by his principles and you live by, you know, what he already did in you, but I mean, sometimes it's baggage. A lot of times people carry the baggage they shouldn't be carrying. So my encouragement, I have a couple more thoughts. My encouragement to you guys today, citizen of heaven means putting your focus and priorities according to system value of heaven. What I mean by system value system of heaven, heaven has a different perspective than earthly perspective. The values there are completely different than the values here. And it is a system, like it's a culture, it's society that God wants to bring on this earth. Like God wants to teach us how to live according to his mindset. When you give your life to him, the transformation of the mindset starts. That transformation looks like it's a value system that God starts writing and inscribing on your heart. He gives you a new heart. It looks different from world. I love talking to my coworkers at work, you know, because sometimes my perspective, and I'm pretty, you know, I'm a strong-willed person, and if I made a decision or like, I will stick with it. I don't care if people agree with it or not agree with it. It's happening. And a lot of times they wouldn't understand it, but I just feel it on the inside of me. They're looking at me like they can't understand me. They're irritable, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know, what can I do? I mean, thank God there is no persecution just yet, you know, but even if persecution like starts breaking out, you still stand on your principles. You still stand on the values that God builds on the inside of you. Mindset, principles, culture. That's on us. One of the things that people send me different kinds of links and stuff. One of the things that I've been getting the last couple of weeks is Christians are so laced with New Age theology and like New Age beliefs. And it's actually kind of been really annoying, because Christians now, like we always talk about pure heart. Pure heart is you get an idea from the Bible and you seek out the purity and the truth of it. And you grab it and you believe it and you run with it, right? Christians nowadays, they want a little bit of the world, they want a little bit of New Age, they want a little bit of Jesus, and then somehow they try to make the work together. It doesn't work. Maybe in the moment right now, here in the next couple of years, it will work, but it will get exposed. How many of you guys know that Jesus in his presence, it's fire? Like if God comes down with his fire, everything that does not belong to him are all lies, like everything bows down to that. Like he is, his presence is refining fire. And that is scary, but that is also good. When you live in his presence, you know that your heart is always going through the refinery. You know that Holy Spirit is taking care of you. You're on the right path. But people that mess with the wrong stuff, better watch out. It's a matter of time. Actually, I do want to read this. This is what I was just talking about. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 15. Anyone who builds on that foundation, so I'm taking a little bit on the, out of the context, but I don't want to read the whole thing. So anyone who builds on that foundation, so the wrong foundation, not the truth, may use a material of gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, and stack. But on the judgment day, fire will appear. What kind of work, hold on, fire will appear. What kind of work each builder has done, the fire will show if a person's work has any value. 14, if the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work burns up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. This verse actually freaked me out when I read it this week. I'm like, God, this is kind of like really made me analyze things, because you can spend your entire lifetime working on something, and then at the end of your life, a refining fire can come and it can show the truth. My encouragement to you guys, build everything on Jesus Christ. Because that's exactly what this verse is talking about. If your foundation is going to be Him in every area and room of your heart, when this fire comes, you're going to be good. You're going to be rejoicing, singing, worthy, holy glory. You're going to be okay. You're going to be totally fine. But if you know you are in the wrong, fix this up. Because we are, I really believe with all of my heart, we are entering into a season of life where it's going to be no gray. It's going to be very hot and burning. It's very near. Before we read Psalms 91, our lives are a story. Each and every one of us are unique and different story. I love our youth. Some of them, they have such a unique gift. And right now, after all of these years, it's starting to be visible. Everything that they carry, they've been pursuing God. They've been like overcoming. Just, you guys see things on stage that are happening. This, to me, there's so much joy in that, because they are so different and unique. And God speaks and manifests and shows Himself so different through each and every one of them. And that being said, that is a story. I was just spending time with Holy Spirit, and He's like, I was thinking about Ukraine and praying for some of the people that, some of the struggles that people asked me and stuff. And one of the things that I realized, everything that's happening over there, they're making history. They're going to be in the books from 50 years from now. You guys know that your life is the same way? Like everything you are manifesting, showing around you, it's going to make history. I know my life is going to be making history. That 50 years, 100 years, whatever, 500 years in the future, people are going to look back and they're going to either learn from you or hopefully learn from you one way or another, whatever that looks like, right? But build your life. Build your life representing and expressing Jesus with purity, with just fullness of being authentic. Because I think that's the best thing what we can do in projecting heaven and releasing heaven is being authentic and original. When you walk with Him, you're already like, your authenticity and originality just gets magnified and released. You don't have to put on faces. You don't have to hide in the shadows. You can just be yourself and let God shine through all of you. It is just so beautiful. Jason, come here, buddy. I want to read Psalms 91. Jason is going to help me read that. I was... How many of you guys know what's written in Psalms 91? Okay. I really felt like releasing this word and God's spirit on our house, on our families, because what I've been talking about, keeping and cultivating peace, crazy facts. When I was thinking about this chapter and reading it over the years, how many of you guys know this is the chapter that Satan attacked? When Jesus was in Gethsemane, when He was going through His... when He was going through His 40-day fast, and this is the chapter that Satan mocked and attacked. To me personally, that means like there's power in this chapter. We're gonna release it. So you guys just claim it, meditate on it, and truly like get this deep into your heart and your family culture, because it's huge. This was Jesus's principles that he walked, and this was his heart, literally. This was, it manifested. You ready?
Yeah. Do I just read it? Okay, this is the NIV version, so. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers and under his wings and will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at the midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Before he loves me, he says, Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
That is so good. Thanks, bud. Jesus literally, with what we just read, with all of these verses, he had it so deep in his heart and grain that he protected. He protected his heart exactly with this. That's what the enemy in verse 12, NIV looks a little bit different than my translation. 91:12, they will hold you up with their hands and you won't hurt your foot against the stone. Enemy was able to twist this in his messed up ways and try to really tempt God with this. Why? Because God's identity is right here. When you walk and when you stay under the shadow of the Almighty, everything else is taken care of. I wanted to release this chapter because I actually ordered a picture frame. I'm gonna wanna 91 is gonna be on my wall in my house because it's a huge verse that I wanna always stay aware of. I wanted to release this because our God protects, provides, loves. Like there is no need, there is no anything if we are in the right place doing the right thing. And so in the Old Testament, the Jewish people, they always read. They always read God's word to each other. They always meditated on it. And for us, it's important. Everything that's going around us, we focus on this, and this is our truth. I wanted to release that. I don't know what's on that, but knowing Jesus, walking with Jesus is a whole lifestyle, and it's all about him. Let's pray. If you guys can stand up, let's pray. One of the things in this season that we've really been contending and praying for is for Kingdom of Heaven to be established in our community. We need it. We need it. So if you guys, not right now, but like after today, when you go home and you're praying for leaders of this house, you're praying for this house, pray for this aspect that God establishes his community here with truth, peace, joy, honor, that it overflows to our cities. Because I really, truly believe that everything that God is prepping here and what he's doing here, what he's been cultivating for so many years, our cities need that. We literally, like all of us, need this. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for today, Lord. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your love. Because when we discover, and when we get into your love, every single time our mind gets transformed, our heart gets transformed, we gain a new perspective, and we truly fall in love with you deeper, and we see how real you are. And we truly, when that starts happening, we start surrendering our rights of our lives and our control over our lives to you. Holy Spirit, I just ask that whatever was spoken about today, that you build your children up in this house and everybody that hears me. I just ask that they're satisfied, that their focus is on you, that they see their clear, like their future very clearly because your truth is in them. I ask that you truly bring awareness into our culture that we are citizens of heaven, that we do carry your name, that our every action has consequences at work, here, at school, and everything that we do and who we are. Thank you so much, Lord, that we can be original, we can be authentic, we can be ourselves, we can love on each other, we can love on you, and we can be acceptable in everything that you do in our lives. I want to bless your people, God, with your favor, your peace, your joy. They are such huge weapons that we should keep in our hearts, protect our hearts and our minds with simple things like peace and joy. Release it, Lord. Whoever needs it, release it right now. Every situation, every life, every family, release your peace that we can receive what heaven has prepared for us. We just honor your name, Holy, in this house and in our lives. We give you glory for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.